words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Let them want them words not depart from thine eyes, and keep those words in the midst of thine heart, for they, the words, are life unto those that find them. Now, we didn't make reference to this last night, but maybe it'd be a good thing. Notice, to those that find them. That means you're going to have to do some searching. Some people are going to go through life and never find them because they never did any searching. It's something that kept coming up in my spirit this morning while we were praying. They're without excuse. They're without excuse. I mean, my brothers and sisters, you're without excuse when the Word is right there before you. All you have to do is open it up. And even people in the churches aren't going to be able to blame it all on their pastors. Yeah. Glory to God. All right, well, praise be in the Lord. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them. That means we're searching. Your people are here searching. You people know what the Word of God says pretty much, but yet you're here searching for something else. Glory be unto God. Amen. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, or as the marginal rendering in many Bibles say, and medicine to all their flesh. Whose flesh? Those that find them.
That's right.
Glory to God. Those that find the words are going to be medicated by the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now notice this. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep the word in the midst of thine heart, for they are life, those words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Now we said last night, we're going to make the statement again, that some people miss out on God's best and God's word by waiting for some supernatural manifestation of one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, any healing is a supernatural manifestation. Glory to God. That you're standing and believing God for. Of course, there's the natural course will take care of things, like we said on many things. But then on the other hand, some things, if you're not treated, glory to God, or if you decide that you're going to stand on the Word of God without the help of man, I mean, it's supernatural to receive your healing. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, some people, though, are waiting for a supernatural manifestation, like the nine gifts of the Spirit going into operation, the working of miracles or the gifts of healings that we looked at in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter last night. And glory be unto God. But, let's just turn back over there, because you just need to see that one little phrase, as He will, in verse 11. I mean, these gifts are in operation only as the Lord will to do it, use the Holy Ghost to put them into operation. So you can't count on them being in operation when you absolutely need them. Are you listening to me? But one thing you can be sure of, faith in the Word of God will always work. I mean, you control that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You control that, and when your faith gets to a place where God is just approves of your faith, then you're going to see it. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Glory be unto God. Woo, glory. I said glory.
Amen.
I'll say it again, glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, look here again, if you would please, to verse 20 of Proverbs 4. It says, my son, attend to my words. Verse 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. We looked at John the 8th chapter, verse 31, where the Lord said in the New Testament, if you continue in my word, he's picking up on this theme, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Exodus 15, verse 26, the Lord Jehovah said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of my word. There's that word, diligently hearken to the voice of my word. Diligently hearken. Diligently hearken. Diligently hearken. diligently hearkening and continuing and inclining your ear and not letting them do the words depart from thine eyes and keeping them in the midst of your heart. It's the same principle that God wants us to get. Now, we defined it this way. We'll just run the definition together tonight so we can go on. If we continue in our diligent, Webster tells us, again, just combining the definitions, that means be persistent, lasting, persevering, and exhibiting painstaking effort. I mean, if you're going to continue in something, sometimes it takes painstaking effort. Glory be unto God. Woo! You know, the devil's going to come to see if you believe this or not. I found that out today. You ever found that out? I went home to rest a little bit this afternoon, and I didn't do much resting. I said, devil, you're not going to take control of my body. So I got up, and I am sure today my neighbors heard me. I am sure that they heard my voice through the neighborhood ringing through the walls of my house. Oh, glory be unto God. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to it.
Glory.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good. Hallelujah. I tell you what, we were predestined to live in this time. We were predestined to see the miracles that we're getting ready to see in this earth. We were predestined to walk by faith and see manifestations of His glory in our own bodies and our own pocketbooks. But we were predestined for this time to see God's miracle power poured out in His signs and wonders. For this time. It's the greatest time to be alive. I'm going to say it again. It's the greatest time to be alive. I'm still here to pump you up. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Brother Merle, you here? Amen. Glory to God. Persistent. I mean, you're going to have to be persistent. You're going to have to last at this. You're not going to be able to be like a rocket person where you blast off and then fizzle out. Persevering. That means going on stubbornly and resolutely in spite of difficulties. You're going to set your nose to it and go on. Glory be unto God. Nothing's going to tick you off and nothing's going to stop you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some people just get ticked off and that stops them. Well, you can't. You got to, glory to God, keep this thing before your eyes and keep it in the midst of your heart. Glory to God. Haven't said anything that I haven't already heard before, and I love it already. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Now, last night we looked at Mark the 9th chapter, verse 23. Well, why don't you just turn over there to Mark 9? It will do us good to hear it again. Hallelujah. Mark 9. Hallelujah. Here Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. There's a man there wanting Him to minister unto his son. And Jesus says, or He says in verse 22, and oft times it hath cast Him into the fire and into the waters to destroy Him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can. If you got the ability to do it, if you can. And Jesus immediately, the man just dumped it all on Jesus, right at Jesus' feet. Jesus just picked it up and bounced it back to him. Some people don't want to hear the truth. This man did, though. Verse 23. I'll show you just a second. We'll look at the scripture that some people just get upset by the truth. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Woo, glory.
Glory.
If you can believe, all things are possible to us. I said, if you can believe, all things, everybody say all. Say all things are possible.
All things are possible.
I don't know what I was getting my suit on earlier this afternoon. I switched on, and Brother Copeland was on his new set of sit-down lessons with Brother Jesse DePlantis, and they were talking. I don't know how many of you saw it. You ought to catch it tonight. But they got to talking about You know, it's impossible with man, but nothing shall be impossible with God. And they got to talking about the impossibilities that, I mean, if God tells you to do something, it's going to be impossible, but that's the good news, because then you can't do anything about it anyway. You just have to turn it over to God. Yeah, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, man, you ought to just go watch it. That brother Jesse's just teaching. He's not being funny. He's just teaching. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. That's good. Everybody say, if I can believe, all things are possible to me. Hallelujah. But it's only if we believe what God believes. You know, I've talked to people, you've talked to people, and they just say, well, you just believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. Well, you can't just believe what you want to believe. Neither can I. We got to believe what Jesus believes. Yeah. Hey, you know, you have a right to believe what you want to believe, and I have the right to believe what I want to believe. Glory be unto God. No, you don't have the right. You have no earthly right to believe what you want to believe. You got to believe what He wants to believe. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you what, I'm just nigh unto happy. Hallelujah. So the next time somebody says to you, well, you know, I can believe what I want to believe, you just say, no, you can't. All righty. Praise the Lord. All righty. And let me tell you, once you start believing, my brothers and sisters, it's got to be a continual act of believing. No, no, none of this start, stop, start, stop. That's why we don't get it. But that's why we're here, so we can get the information we need to do some believing. Proverbs 4 again, because we just got to go back there at least 10 times tonight, I would think. Proverbs 4. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. My son, attend to my words in verse 20. I mean, that we said last night, that means simply put the word first place. Take care of the word in your life first place. It comes before your job. It comes before your family. Let me tell you what, if you put the word first place, your family life will go a whole lot better. If you just do it the way the Bible says do it, your family life will go a lot better. It means you got to put it before your church. You got to put it before anything and everything. Put it before your marriage. You got to put the word first place. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then incline. Incline. Your ear. You got to get your ear moved over on His sayings. Glory be unto God. What the Lord is saying. And we looked at briefly last night at not only what He's saying in the Word to us, but what He's saying in our spirit to us. Turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew 8. So we started looking at the sayings of Jesus. So generally, it's not very difficult, because it says, and Jesus said, and Jesus saith. Well, when it says that, I can just see what's after that, and I can find out what He said. I mean, the Holy Ghost was real helpful. It just didn't put a bunch of sentences without telling us who was talking. And it's important for us to know who's talking, and it's important for us to know who He's talking to. Amen. Glory be unto God. Now look with me, if you would please, to Matthew 8, verse 1. When He, that's Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. I tell you what, we each need to find our mountain. That place where we get alone with God. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. If you want to, if you will to, I know you got the power to do it. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched Him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. Here's a saying of Jesus. I will. Be thou clean. Incline thine ear unto His sayings. His saying is, I will be thou clean. Let's go on. Ooh. I said, ooh. In fact, you could go through the New Testament, and I think I'm accurate in saying this. You could go through the New Testament and underline everything where it says he won't, and you're not going to find any places marked in your Bible where he goes, I won't. About the closest you get is with the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, where he says, I've not been sent to anyone except the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she said, yeah, but the dogs even eat the crumbs off the master's table. And he goes, my God, go get what you want for your daughter. I mean, that moved the man.
Amen.
Glory to God. Faith will move. You can be goofed up and outside the group and get blessed by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Jesus said, I will. Now turn with me to John 14. John 14. This is going to be a theme through tonight's lesson. I'm not sure when a lesson becomes a sermon. John 14, verse 10. I want you to get this. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Verse 10, chapter 14 of John. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now let me read to you the original Greek. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Excuse me, that's what we just got the reading. Here's the translation. The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth them. The Lord Jesus wants us to know something. He never said anything that the Father didn't tell him to say, and he never did anything the Father didn't tell him to do. Did you get that? So when Jesus said, I will, be thou clean, that was the Father saying, I will. I will to heal you. That's my will. I will to heal you. God the Father saying to us tonight, I will to heal you.
That's,
I know you can, but I know you can, but will you? And he's saying, I will, Duke. I will. I will heal thee. Be thou clean. I mean, every time the report comes from the doctor, elevated this, elevated that, high this, high that, low this, low that, you say, you will, I'm clean. You will to do it. You will to do it for me. Glory be unto God. So if Jesus said, once again, I will, then that's the Father God saying, I will. Hallelujah. The unfortunate thing, though, is most people in the church are following the doubt of the leper and not what Jesus said. Many people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are inclining their ear to what the leper said. Oh, yeah. I mean, sermons went forth Sunday morning, I'm sure, in this community. God can do everything. I mean, they probably had, you know, Brother Jones and Brother Smith's name on a piece of paper that was slipped up on the pulpit, and please pray, and the prayer probably went forth something like this. God, we know in your infinite wisdom that you can, if you so desire, to heal Brother Jones and Brother Packard. But God, we don't want to be so presumptuous to think that we could call on you to heal them absolutely. Well, you just will start carving the tombstone.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. I was in a certain church. I was friends with a girl in high school, and she went to a certain church, and so I went to that church, you know, with her, and that's not the best thing.
Make sure
your kids go to good churches with their friends, like have the friends come here. And I'll never forget, they got up and they sang this Fanny Cosby song, one of the great psalmists ever, blind Fanny J. Cosby. I mean, she's blind, and her music will just take you to heaven. I mean, and she's just anointed of God. And I can't recall the song because it was a long time ago, but they were singing out of it, and it's saying basically, there's nothing impossible for you. God desires to bless you all the time. One of those kinds of songs that we'd say, yeah, baby, that's the word of God. And the pastor got up and stopped the song. Of all the things that I remember in that, this is the only thing I remember in that church. And he said, whoa, stop, we can no longer sing this song. That's not the truth. God doesn't want to bless us. And he went into this dissertation about this song. Isn't that strange? That's the only thing I remember that the man ever said. And it stuck with me all these years. He stopped the song, wouldn't let it be sung. Hallelujah. Now, we would have stopped the song that were based on the words he was saying. Glory be unto God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But we can't follow the doubting of the leper, if thou wilt. We've got to follow the sayings of Jesus. Incline our ears to what Jesus, therefore the Father God said. Now look at Matthew 5, if you would please, again. I got to get back there. Matthew, did I say 5? 8, excuse me. Matthew 8, verse 5. You see, unlike Sunday morning, when I didn't give you any, I gave you like 3 then, and there was one correct one. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered in to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. You talk about one great chapter in the Bible concerning the subject of healing. You are now planted firmly in it. When you're fighting things in your physical body, just remember Matthew chapter 8 and get it out and read it about 10 times out loud. Because the same Jesus working here and walking through these passages is walking through your hallways in your house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Now notice this. Verse 6. This is what he said to him. Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now let's go back and read that again. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith, remember we're supposed to incline our ears to his sayings. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, I want you to remember, this man's not a Jew. He's a Roman. He's not one of the selected few. You're going to see something great when we get through with this whole passage of Scripture. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. So I'm supposed to incline my ears to his sayings. And his saying to me that I'm supposed to grab a hold of and attend to is this, David Oaks, I will come heal you. Whenever I'm in that position and I need God to come on the scene, I don't have to doubt or even wonder whether he wants to. He wills to come into my house and touch my body. When your head is splitting and you think you would be better off if it was just removed from your shoulders and put someplace else for a while, you need to turn your attention to him and say, you will. I mean, just look at him, because he's saying, I will come into your house right now and I will heal you. Yeah.
And about right now, the minister would get up and say, now, we can't be sure of that, so we can't read this passage of Scripture any longer. You know, I got to thinking yesterday, because we've just been on this Holy Ghost, God inside minded. Holy Ghost. And I got to thinking, if you don't believe in the move of the Holy Ghost, you've got to extract a whole lot of book that you can't read. The Bible suddenly becomes smaller. Do you remember your mind when you read through the Bible before you were filled with the Holy Ghost and you'd get to that tongues part and your mind would always question, why do I not see this today? What is this? I remember when I would read through it, when I before I got filled with the Spirit, I'd say, well, what's this all about? And the only way they can do it is, well, it's been done away with. It's been done away with. Because when that which is perfect has come, tongues are done away with, and that which is perfect has come. Really? This is perfect? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody with me now. Hallelujah. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The main ingredient of strong faith, the spoken word. And you'll be hearing a lot about that in a couple of weeks probably. Hallelujah. Now let's go on down to verse 13, and it says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Jesus put it all on him and said his believing was going to bring it into fruition or manifestation. His believing. Not some manifestation of the Holy Ghost, not the working of miracles or the gifts of healings, but his believing was going to bring it in to being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, faith will always pay off. Faith will always pay off. Glory be unto God. I said glory be unto God. Now look at verse 16. We're going to leave 14 and 15 till later. Verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Are you folks ready to get real sloppy and start casting out devils in the church services? I mean, really getting sloppy. That makes some people nervous. I remember something that Lester Sumrall said one time. He was an interesting man. He had me to his hotel room one time and I had breakfast with him in his hotel room. He was a real interesting guy. But I remember him talking about people who had prayer rooms where they had the sloppy stuff that could get sloppy, like casting devils out of people and having people scream and curse and all that kind of stuff. He started talking about why people didn't have success when they took them and moved them into the prayer room, and why the people very seldom got delivered. And Brother Lester, who probably knew more about casting out devils than anybody that's walked on the face of the earth in the last 50 years, Brother Lester said this. He said, as soon as you take them out of your church service, you take them off of your ground and out of the realm of your authority. He said, you deal with them where you have authority, and you have authority right up there in front of everybody, preachers. And he says, that's where you deal with devils. Hallelujah. But see, you got to get a bunch of people who say, Lord, we want you to drive devils out of people's lives during our church services. And then God will start bringing in devil-possessed people. You know, I know when we go to the mission field, everybody always looks forward to casting devils out of people. And so because they look forward to it, we get a lot of devils in the services. And they go screaming out.
and people get free. When did I talk about the little rat god? Sunday morning or last night? Little rat god. Well, I didn't finish the story. I cast the devil out of the kid. He'd been beating himself. I had a vision, and I saw somebody beating themselves and cutting themselves with stones, and I just got up and told what I saw, and they brought this kid up with the rat god. He was the one with the rat god, wasn't he? Yeah. And they said he goes off into the rocks and would beat himself with rocks and cut himself all up. The demons just had a hold of him. And they brought him up, and I spent, I don't know, quite a while with him and cast the devils out of him. The next night, he came back to the surface. Well, he was in torn up, raggedy old clothes. I mean, just dirty, filthy. The next night, he came back to the service. He was totally washed, totally clean, hair cut, and had a three-piece suit on. And said God had called him to evangelize his nation. And he went out preaching. He changed gods.
Amen.
From a rat to the Almighty. Hallelujah. I didn't finish the story, but now we finished it. Glory to God. It's always good to not leave them hanging over 40 hours. Glory to God. God's good. Now notice this. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. I mean, the man just spoke the word and devils left. Oh, God, for that kind of holiness. That's the reason he could do it, because of his holiness. Anybody can speak the word, but that's the holiness behind it. And healed all that were sick. Everybody say all.
All.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, it says Isaiah. This is a saying of Isaiah. Well, let's find out where Isaiah got it. Go with me to Isaiah 53, verse 4. Now, the reason why it's a little different in the New Testament from the Old Testament is because the New Testament was written in Greek, and when it was written, the Septuagint was being used, which was the Greek translation of the Hebrew text. And that's the way it appears in the Septuagint. So that's the reason it appears. So you're going through two different... Well, actually, you're going from Hebrew to Greek, Greek to English. You're going through two languages. And that's why things in the Old Testament appear differently sometimes than they do in the New Testament. Because these people were translating Greek from the Hebrew. Okay? These cats back then were reading the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Hebrew text. Okay, go back with me to verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs. We know that that's the word holy in Hebrew, the word sickness. In fact, it's translated probably 95% of the time in the Old Testament as sickness. Why they suddenly come up with griefs in this translation? You know, that stuff's got to be the enemy working through man's mind. You know, it's the original text is infallible. The time you move and you get some different things. But surely, this is talking about Jesus, a prophecy about Jesus, Isaiah prophesying. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses, holy, and carried our sorrows. The word sorrows should have been translated as the word pain, because 90 95% of the time throughout the Old Testament, the word mahab in Hebrew is translated as pain. So surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But who is actually saying this? Well, go back to chapter 52. It's just a continuation of thought. Verse 3 says, thus saith the Lord Jehovah. Verse 4 says, for thus saith the Lord God. Verse 5 says, now therefore what have I here, saith the Lord Jehovah. Verse 6 says, therefore my people shall know my name. That sounds like God. And so the Lord is speaking through the mouth of his prophet Isaiah. So it's God saying, verse 4, chapter 53. The context is still God prophesying. Are you listening to me? This was God saying this. It wasn't some man just coming up with it after he had been sucking on some funky cactus or something. God saying it. God saying it. Everybody say, God saying it. So if we go back to verse 17 of chapter 8 of Matthew, we could just as easily say and be correct that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by God. Because God gave him the words to say. So this is a God saying. And notice what the God saying is. Himself took not somebody else's infirmities or pains, as it appears in the Hebrew text, and bear our sicknesses. It says our. Each one of us, glory be unto God, our. Amen. Not theirs, ours. Ooh, glory.
Amen.
He didn't exclude us. We're in there, glory to God. And that's the saying of the Father. Hallelujah. Where's the word really coming from? It's coming from the Father God. And so therefore, I've got to incline my ear to it. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Woo! Glory to God. That's a good word. Hallelujah. Now, go back with me to verse 14. Because in the midst of this healing going on, we have verse 14. And it says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, why did he put that there? This is like a healing sandwich here. I believe there could be some validity to my next statement. And that is that God didn't want you to think that you had to know somebody before you got something from God. Mama-in-law knew him, and she got healed. But not only did Jesus heal somebody he knew, he healed a man that he wasn't even called to, servant. He healed everybody from every walk of life who were possessed with devils, and he cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. I guarantee you that's from every walk of life. Let me tell you, you don't have to know somebody special to receive something from God. And well, if you know, things would be better off if I just knew somebody. Well, no, you don't have to know anybody but Jesus. You don't have to push yourself first in line to be noticed by God. You can just stand quietly back and exhibit faith to Him and have your little faith antenna, and God will come down and smack you upside with the blessing baloney right upside your head.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We got a new meat product tonight. Hallelujah. All of those have pork products. I don't think God would be handling them, but hallelujah. God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Now, this is for those who think, well, maybe you ought not lay hands on people twice. I did an extensive study, and I can't preach the entire sermon, but actually, he prayed for Peter's mom, we know, at least twice. And we know he prayed. That's not the same story, and the reason we know, because one time he prayed for her was before the disciples were called, and another time that he prayed for him was after the disciples were called. So if you look at the chronology of it, this woman had a recurrence of the difficulty, and Jesus ministered to her. Hallelujah. I prayed for you once, so that's it. Well, no, that's not what he said. He prayed for her, she got healed again. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. God's good. I said, God's good.
Amen.
From that teaching also, if you just casually read the Bible, you'd think Jesus just bopped down his head and said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Like he just ran into him one day on the beach of the Sea of Galilee. Well, if you study that, you can find out that they've gone to synagogue together, friend. They watched his life before he called them forth. They knew him. They knew what he taught. Hallelujah. That's another sermon. We don't have time to preach it tonight, nor any inclination to do more than what we've already done. Hallelujah. The Lord is trying to get something over for to us. Let me say it again. You don't have to know someone to receive from God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody say, Himself took our. That means not just the lepers, not just the centurion's servant, not just Peter's mama-in-law. He took ours. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Is it God's will to heal us? If we incline our ear, we will know exactly what His will is. Hallelujah. We all need to feed along the lines of healing and let our bodies be nourished with the Word of God. Even when you're not sick, even when you're not sick. Airplane pilots have this little motto that they walk by. Every time they land, they fill up with gas. And there's a reason for that. Whether they need it or not, whether they've been in the air 5 minutes or not, I've been with them, and they'll get gas. Something about us and our healing, a lot of times we don't get fueled until we're empty and sick. We need to stay on it all the time. Glory be unto God, all the time. Acts 10. It's got to be in my top three favorite scriptures in the Bible. I say it all the time. Acts the 10th chapter, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, why did he do that? Because it was the will of the Father. Was he always carrying out the will of the Father in every case? Absolutely. Has God's will changed? No. Because my Bible says the same yesterday and today and forever. Glory be unto God. God's will has not changed. Now turn with me, if you would please, to Hebrews 1. Glory to God. Hebrews 1. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. How did God communicate with us? By His Son. I told you it's going to be a recurring theme tonight. The Father wants us to have this certainty, this assurity, that if we ever doubt His will, all we have to do is go and look at Jesus and listen to what Jesus said, because everything He spoke is God speaking to us. Now notice what it says again. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. God's speaking unto us through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the mouth of Jesus. How can there be any mistake of what He wants and desires for our life and what He's made possible?
Amen.
He put Jesus here as a living testament of His will. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. So what's God saying through Jesus? He's saying He wants us well. I've had people say to me, and for teaching purposes, we'll put it in here, have people say, well, if He wants us well, why didn't He just heal everybody? If he wanted us well, He'd just heal people. Well, that's silly. God can only do what we permit Him to do. Well, that's not true. God can do everything. Well, if He could do everything, He'd make everybody get saved. We'd all get saved and moved into the millennial reign tomorrow and just dump this place, and I wouldn't have to think about getting the bus painted.
You'd
just be out of here. And furthermore, if he could just make us do anything and do anything he wanted to do, he'd make everybody tithe and I wouldn't have to preach on it anymore. Hallelujah. God will only do what we permit him to do. Mark the 6th chapter. We really need to know this. Remember, inclining our ears unto his sayings. Mark 6. And he went out from thence in verse 1 and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Offended. They were offended at him. Everybody say offended.
Offended.
Well, we've had somebody recently in the church offended by what God, Holy Ghost inside people, will inspire people to do. They were offended. Hallelujah. You say how? Well, everybody gets shouting, everybody gets to jumping, and everybody gets to. You know, somebody said, I never saw Jesus do that stuff that you do in those kinds of churches like you go to. And I like what one man said, but everybody he came in contact did it. Everybody he came close to, the same kinds of results. Hallelujah. I won't go on. Well, maybe I will go on with it. I'll tell you why I'm going on with it, because this was just quickening my heart. This story right here is listed twice. And I don't know if they were told this by the Holy Ghost or if they did it in their interviewing the participants at that time. I believe probably that Jesus revealed this to them, why certain things weren't occurring in their midst. But you can tell when people are offended. Comments are made while you're preaching and you can hear them. One is elbowing the other. I get to watch this. I'm quite used to it. It doesn't move me. And then when they fill out the visitor's card, they scratched out the real address and put a fake address and fake telephone numbers. And we started this new thing. We laid hands on the elders, you know, and we said, okay, you're going to, we said, why don't you just call these folks up? And I said, just ask them out for dessert or something, just if they have any questions. And they called and they said, we never heard of these people before. They were offended. All the jumping around, all the shouting. They were offended. Hallelujah. I love them. I was offended once. I remember I came home from college and went to Mom and Dad's church, and they had just gotten baptized with the Holy Ghost at church, and people were lifting their hands, and that was a little too wild for me back then. I was going, oh, man, I had my head down like this on the back of the chairs. I said, what have my parents gotten themselves into? What did Mom drag my dad into? I know that he wouldn't have willingly gone into this. Anybody been there? I was offended. The word in Greek is not offended, it's the word stumbled. They stumbled over this. I mean, he's out there doing miracles and they're falling over this thing. They can't go on with him because they're falling over this stuff that he's doing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Dell and all of his sweetness said, well, Pastor, maybe they'll come back. And I just started giggling. I said, well, I don't think my faith's strong enough for that. Glory be unto God. I just love them and believe God they get where they can be happy. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look on. And they stumbled. They were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Notice verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work. Notice, he couldn't. As Brother Hagin always says when he reads this passage of Scripture, it doesn't say he wouldn't. It says he couldn't. So I'll say the same thing. I probably heard him read out of this passage of Scripture 150 times in sermons. It's not that he wouldn't. He couldn't. God can do everything. Well, he couldn't hear. Notice, and he could there do no mighty work. My, that's why I want our church to just want God to do stuff. Amen. I don't want when God really starts doing wild stuff for people to fall over it. I tell you what, folks, 20 years ago when I first started pastoring, we had some wild stuff taking place. My wife and I were talking the other day. I just go sometimes because I wouldn't know what was going on and didn't know what to do once it started. I just go sit down. And there was some wild stuff that took place. Glory to God. Say, Lord. Say that, Lord. It's okay with us if you do your wild stuff. You just start saying every day before you come to church, Lord, it's okay with me if you do wild stuff today. Don't have him guessing. The Holy Ghost doesn't like to guess when he comes into a service. Do they want me or don't they want me? He's always here, but he's just a really classy guy. He won't get involved in the conversation unless you ask him to get involved. He won't get involved in the service unless we want him. If all we want is some teaching, that's all we're going to get. But I don't think that's quite enough. Ooh, glory. Now, for now, this is the purpose of this. But I want to just be a little wilder. Hallelujah. Well, it offended somebody. Folks, the length of your hair can offend somebody. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now notice on. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. I mean, so he's gone from masses to a few. His congregation is dwindling. Save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled. Before he was marveling because of these, no, such great faith I have not found, no, not in Israel. Now he's marveling because of their unbelief. Well, even God saying that through Jesus he wants us well, why doesn't he just heal everyone? Because he can't. It takes us believing, and it takes faith. Well, if you teach he wants to prosper people and that he's met all of our needs according to his riches and glory and there's wealth and riches in our house, why doesn't he just make me rich? Because he can't. He has given us authority. Everybody say, He's given us authority. God will only do what we permit Him to do. God will only do it. Hallelujah. I said, whatever we permit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all right. Now look at him. He's just looking, going, what's going on over there? It's funny. Dale brought me back the card, and you can see where they crossed through. It had 300 on it, and they crossed through it and put another address. Hallelujah. They're just saying, I don't want nothing from you people. I don't want to hear nothing. They should have just tossed it in the trash. Brother Dale said to me, he said, Pastor, it was really something. You just, I'm glad he's not here. I could tell on him. He goes, Pastor David, he goes, right after we called, and God said, I never heard of those people. He said, we went to get gas, and they were there getting gas. And I said, did you go over to them? He goes, I kind of wanted to, but Deb was saying, Dale, don't do it. Dale, don't do it. Dale, don't do it. I think we got the wrong address here. Hallelujah. No, glory to God. We love people. Hallelujah. I mean, it'd be like God to show up in the middle of the room and say, go back. The Father cannot do any more than you let Him do. Amen. And God is a healing God. Amen. He wills to heal us, so why don't we let Him? Amen. I'm not being mean either. We love people. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm just thankful that Sister Andrea put the right telephone number on it. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. In all my years pastoring, I think that's the first time that's happened, honestly. There's something new every day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. And what's so great, it was our first, we made the change into this new way of doing things. That was the first one right off the bat. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there. Incline thine ear unto His sayings. Glory to God. We'll see you tomorrow evening, but let's all stand for a second.